something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
It's our Halloween spooktacular.
And I'm back from Turks and Caicos.
And I maybe overshare about a strange medical phenomenon I experienced. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Well, I'm glad you're here for this party, but you're late.
Yeah, I have to be honest. I'm not a huge Halloween fan. Do you say Halloween or Halloween, by the way?
I said Halloween, but you're wearing literally, like, you're just wearing normal clothes. What's your costume? Oh, there's a fish coming out of your pocket. Don't tell me you're being the I'm the ocean guy. Is that your costume, seriously?
Yeah.
You're the ocean?
Yeah.
Like, this is ridiculous. We're going into a party. Look at me. I'm a bumblebee, for crying out loud.
I know, but there's probably going to be 10 bumblebees here. I just wanted to do something different. I don't really like Halloween or Halloween. And but I just wanted to... I really went for it this year. So, first of all, thanks for throwing me off my vibe before we even walk in.
Look, there's a giant tiger around the corner. Just go get... Let's get a mask, at least.
You mean like a person
something.
In a costume?
Yeah, because we're going to a costume party,
Marty.
That's
what Marty. I should have gone as a giant tiger. That would be scary.
That would have been fantastic, absolutely. But at this point, you're just wearing basically what you would get out of work, and you have a dolphin sticking out of your pocket.
Can I tell you, that's not a dolphin, first of all. And secondly, when you said there's a giant tiger around the corner, part of me was like, wait a sec. What? I'm scared. Like, there's a giant tiger around the corner. But you meant the store.
Anyway, we got to go in here.
Tell you, how about this? What if I ditch the fish and I can be a plainclothes police officer? Right? That's not bad.
Sure. That's just as good.
Now David, do you have any aviators in the car? I could be David, the guy who does the puns when I wish I could have her, like that guy.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. We're instantly those guys at the party. Now
David
you're
Caruso.
The guy that... No one's going to talk to us because you're like that. They're just going to be like, oh, he's that person.
Wait, I have a quick fix. What? You can be the bee, and I'll be the honey. I'm your honey. Let's just tell people I'm your honey.
Why don't you just take this half of the costume, and you can be part of the bee. How about that?
Oh, so it's...
Like, I take the pants here.
Okay.
And one antenna.
Oh, I see.
And here's some makeup here for my face, and I'm just gonna rub it here around there. See? Now, I guess you could be a dead bee.
No, we're like a hive. And
a dead bee that's been squashed or blown up by one of those tennis rackets that are electric.
Electric tennis rackets? Is that a real thing?
You know those things, the tennis racket? It's like a tennis racket, but it's electric and you can zap everything.
Oh, yeah, okay, the bug zapper.
Yeah.
I was thinking...
You look like
let's tell people where...
Bee that was hit against the wall with that.
Let's tell people we're Austin Powers, and then when they say why, we can say, oh, bee hive.
No, you know what? Just don't say it. Don't say anything.
Why?
You look all squished up against a front door, just smashed.
Oh, like sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug.
You look like a smashed... Actually, now it's pretty wicked, that costume.
So maybe, I don't know, I'll just tell people I'm Mark Knopfler.
No. Okay.
That's actually a really funny idea to dress up as something really specific, and then when no one gets it, you're like, come on, guys, Mark Knopfler, obviously.
Well, I think if you tried to look like Mark Knopfler, it would look like you're trying to do, because you would you have to have like the skirted egg, right? You'd have to have the skirted egg, maybe a like a denim top,
really
right?
Really taking Gen Z. I'd have to have a national guitar.
some smart pants, yeah, and like a denim shirt and one of those steel guitars.
Yeah. What are they called? Are they called National Guitars? The reason I feel like they're called that is because the Mississippi Delta is shining like a national guitar.
Is yeah, that- well, mate. It, yeah, for sure. Maybe that's like I'm not a aficionado on the steel guitars, but maybe that's like
it's like a slide guitar. Like a,
yeah, mm-hmm. but if you just started had the little that'd be even fun. That's actually a killer Halloween costume. If you had the little like you know the hog amp on your belt, the little amplifiers you
yeah. can
get.
Hey.
And you're just like, dan, 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 dan. You just you can do that riff. You're just coming out of the bathroom. It depends what... you could do different eras, like the vest... Or like even the early days with the headband and all sweaty with like a wife beater on.
Judy dee bee dee bee dee. Doodle dee doodle dee 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 dee.
You know, so like I hear stories with him. Like it's like, yeah, you know, I was in Montserrat recording with, you know, and George Martin walks in. It's always like only epic people hanging out, always. It's like, and Michael Caine came by for lunch, right?
I remember, I think it was, I can't remember if it was Michael Caine's book or David Niven's book, but they were talking about hanging out with Vidal Sassoon, who liked to party, like the hair guy. The idea Mr. Guy in the 60s. Like, we're going to Vidal's, yeah?
Oh, yeah. That
would, like, that Vidal would, yeah. Sassoon having people over, and he's, like, doing women's hair and partying.
Yeah, what's going on at the Vidal party?
I was thinking about, the costumes for this year, because you know how there's always, ripped from the headlines pop culture ones? I was thinking the guy with the cranberry on the skateboard... You know, the guy who's listening to Fleetwood Mac? Like, that's probably big one this year.
Well, what is that? Like, what was he wearing? Just like a t-shirt and sunglasses?
Yeah.
You gotta shave your head?
Yeah, but if you go to...
And have the ocean spray bottle?
If you go to a party with some ocean spray and a skateboard, people will be like, oh, right.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
The Bernie mittens...
Yeah.
From the inauguration. That's probably a big costume this year. Although it's kind of tricky because you want it to be sort of recent enough that people still remember it.
Or just like all the whatever horror movie that's happening at the time or Netflix show. Like that's the biggest one I see is the Squid Game costumes or like... That's the most popular, I think, because they're pretty easy, I guess, if you just wear the pink suit with the PlayStation button thing on your, like, the X, the O, or the square on your face.
Mark Ford was talking about this Squid Game the other day. I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
What
I watched
it.
Well, it's a TV series, and it's just really super violent, but it's like a story that will kind of grab you and keep you going because it's so ridiculous. And it's basically a bunch of kind of people that are down and out. They get together and they start with, I don't know, like 1,000 of them. And like they're all getting killed and popped off in every 2 seconds everywhere. Like you're and they're playing kids games that kids would... play growing up or whatever. So it's one after the other, but like after the first one there's like 500 people dead, after the next one there's like 200 more dead. So you just get used to this ridiculous violence coupled with these child games, and it kind of keeps you going for whatever 10 episodes.
And is it a apparently remake the guy that... or it's the original? No, it's from somewhere else,
it's a guy that created it and tried to sell it for like
10 years and couldn't get arrested with it. But finally, Netflix picked up the concept, and it's the biggest thing in their history.
It is? Got
more download. Yeah, it's the biggest show in Netflix history already, and it's only a few months out, right?
Whoa.
And they're doing a season two already. It's the guy that plays the doctor in the show is the guy that created it. So it's got some interesting writing. It's not your typical television show, because it's for one, very violent, but two, there's kind of interesting interplay with the characters, and there's a lot of interesting twists that happen that are captivating in that regard. So I would say it's a pretty solid watch. Yeah.
Imagine the pressure on you as a Netflix executive, because everyone in the world wants to get at you, right? But you can't pick up everything. I wonder how you do
I'll
that.
I'll tell you what's...
You've probably heard every pitch in the world.
Yeah, but the only thing about it is when you're hot, but when you're cold, you're that's cold. You know what I mean? It just disappears if something's not happening. It's kind of like the record industry or whatever. Most records, I think only 5% of all records do gold or better. That was back 20 years ago. So that's probably worse, because record sales are way down. But most music that you hear, not including the mainstream, but if you're a fan of music and you buy everything that comes out, or you listen to all the new stuff, most of it fails. And you know what I mean? So imagine being a Netflix show that's think it's going to be the best, and no one watches it, and that's that. 6 months later, you're back on the train, get another one going.
That's the thing. The ratio of shows that they can pick up or pilot in the States compared to here. If it gets picked up, it's going on television.
Yeah.
There, they might do 125 pilots and only take one to series, because they have the dough fishing trip.
The other thing about the Squid Game, because you don't know anything about it, it was made in Korea, so it's subtitles. And for me, when you're watching a movie and they're speaking another language in the subtitles, it makes it better in a sense, because the actors seem like they're crushing it, as opposed to overdubs. It takes away the performance of the acting, because the overdub voice isn't never as good as the actor, and generally it's a different thing, right? Because they're obviously directors with one person, and subtitles happen all over the place. So you're hiring just some person that hasn't, the vision isn't going to the guy talking in a booth, covering, four countries or something. So that it kind of... it's better for me to just listen to the voice of the actor and read the subtitles.
It's crazy how quickly your brain can kind of adapt to that. Watching and
definitely.
Reading
you just get
time.
Used to it.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, I think the younger generation, there's subtitles on everything now. So they're used to reading what's happening. Like, for example, if The Office is on, the subtitles are always on too, and it's just kind of, if you think you don't hear a line, you see it, so you just don't miss anything. It's all there.
Taggart, how was your trip?
Trip was great.
Is Turks one island and Caicos is the other, or how does the breakdown of the name happen?
Turks and Caicos is the last chain of those islands. I think Jamaica's not far from there, Dominican's not very far from there, but it's the last one. And it's just a beautiful kind of raised sandbar in a sense, because everything is coral. There's no elevation whatsoever. So you just kind of feel like you're on the beach everywhere. So I think that's probably why it's so popular. But it was a great week. Robin and Warren, it was a beautiful wedding. It was great parties. The weather was perfect the whole week.
What did you eat?
I ate conch.
Did you?
Like a mask. Yeah.
Conk.
And I had some flounder, I had grouper, I had I had also just like the food, the restaurants were really cool. There was this like food truck called Coco Van. Mm-hmm. How classic is that? But the menu on there, they had like Big Mac egg rolls, which were to die for, and like fried fish tacos or grilled fish tacos. Just insane menu, like really interesting food for a food truck, but everything was like incredible. And then the Coco Bistro was like that elevated, where I had like this braised beef ravioli that was just unbelievable. And the coconut cream pie there is like, it's kind of like it's more dense. It's not like a fluffy cream filled thing. It's more kind of like you taste coconut throughout it, and it's a little more.
Wow, because the coconut's fresher?
Oh, yeah. Everything is fresh, man. Everything's fresh.
What do you mean conch? What is conch? Like a conch shell?
Conch shell, yeah.
There's meat in there?
What? Yeah. Well, they're huge, those things, right? Yeah. And that's the other thing. You're walking around, and it's like, come on. This guy, like, you guys are placing these conch shells. This is not like, I thought they were just you know, like, you know when you see a conch shell and it's like on a table in a fancy place?
Yeah.
It's all shiny. I'm like looking around on the beach. I'm like, oh, they must just like place these here, right? Because they're all like, some of them are pristine, huge, like huge conch shells. But no, they're just washing up on the beach. And
what?
If you go to where they don't rake everything up and fix stuff, they're all over the place, man. It's nuts. Big masks, man.
So did you like snorkel or like swim and see conks?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. We're staying at Robin's brother Mike's place. And he took us out on his boat to this like rusty ship on the south shore that was at the bottom of the ocean. But a huge storm brought it up onto a sandbar. So you can go out to it and jump off it and stuff and snorkel around it and swim around it. But you got, you know, it's like super rusty and you don't want to, you know, it's tetanus shotville for sure. But like you can jump load, you know, 15 foot banger, but it goes up to like a 30 feet banger. But if you're really insane, you could go up to the mast and jump off. You know what I mean? Like a huge old ship that's just... It was nuts, like that, and then ripping around to the other side to these chains of islands that are just uninhabited all over the place. So you just pull the boat up, you jump in the water, you walk around, there's like geckos and snakes,
conks.
Snake holes, conks. Yeah, man.
Conk like a map.
That place is crazy. I couldn't believe how many Canadians actually live down there. Because I guess that's one of those like tax havens in a way, like where they fire up a residency down there. So all your Zuckerbergs and Billies, Canadian Billies.
Millie Vanillies live there?
No, billionaires. I'm saying Canadian Billies and the Zuck types.
So did you see anyone you knew outside of your party?
We didn't really go out. And it's so... Like, where Mike lives, it's so quiet. You don't really see anybody else. I didn't see anybody. On all the beaches that we went to, I didn't see any other people than us.
Is it like birds out kind of beaches?
Well, probably more like, on the north
shore. Were you hanging a rat?
Like, maybe... Like Grace Bay area, there's probably a little more of those, like the European Speedos, and it's like remember the guy from Top Gear with nothing on?
Yeah.
No, I didn't go to those spots. I was just like, you know, we were freeballing out on a boat and just pulling up to wicked places.
Like what kind of boat?
Yeah,
a catamaran?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Crazy. A catamaran with some good power. And then just pulling up and hopping in the ocean and, you know, firing on the snorkel and seeing all kinds of stuff down there. It's pretty cool. I didn't see the Ben Kingsley guy walking by with the 9-inch hammer.
You didn't?
No. Some Michael Caine looking mask with a big swinging Milton Berle bangs.
Did you
smacking against his legs as he's walking down the beach?
Or he tricks you to look at the conch, but he's made a hole in the bottom of it to jam the horn in.
Check it out. Yeah, no banana hammock wiggles guy. No, I didn't see any of that. The only thing that was like populated was the airport. You coming and going. That was it.
What's Turks and Caicos International Airport like?
It's not bad. It's an air conditioned spot. So if you're waiting to go home, you're not cooking. But when you get there to go through customs, you're kind of standing in a hangar that's just cooking hot for like 45 minutes.
Right.
So that's not the most fun. So in terms of heat and like getting sweaty, just after you got. So yeah, you always have to climatize there in the hangar. They got the buds there rocking the jams to kind of keep the peace, I guess.
Keep it light.
Because you're just going. Yeah, because it's a bunch of crunch, crunch guys, right? There's all kinds of those types down there, and they don't like to wait, right?
So if they have to wait to board, everyone's getting a little restless.
You could sense the tension. I've never seen, I had a great time, but on the flight back, I was like, I never seen more people that I'm like, that guy's a dick. This lady is a dick. Like, why is everybody being so mean? You know, woman in front of me had a big husky voice. She was French. I couldn't understand what she was saying, but she was like doing the Nashville style with the mask where it's just over the mouth. I mean?
The Undertaker.
And then the lady's like, please put it up. But she put it up and then put it back down again. And she had her friend in the seat in front of her and they were yapping back and forth and like, bunch of garbage under their seats at the end of the flight. And another lady and her husband with this kid, they were like the type of people who like there nothing else is happening in the world except for what we're doing and fuck everybody else. Like, first of all, they didn't book the flight so they could sit together, so everybody was gonna get it until they found seats together. But then waiting, you know, when you're getting on the plane and they're just like waiting or chatting back and forth or basically bartering with people in the seats to try and find seats.
Oh, no.
And while the whole flight's still waiting to get on into their seats. So, you know, after 5-10 minutes of this, like, come on, like there's other people that have a life happening here. Like, you can't block the aisle for 10 minutes just trying to go up and down. And it was like, you know, asking a guy that's in an aisle seat, and it's like a big seat, like the upper, not the full upgrade, but the other upgrade. And why would a person that's
like, come on, man, will you trade us for a middle?
A three-hour flight. Yeah, can you go in the middle back here, there, so I can take your seat? Like, that's just like, usually, I know it's difficult, but like, you know, the kid wasn't going to be on their own. And their original seats were like somebody in the middle. They just couldn't deal with it. And it's like they were going on and on. And then there was just other examples of like when the guy would get up and bounce with the baby, he would do it in a way where it's like everyone's got to watch me. You know that styles?
Yes.
Like I'm displaying my kid and he was bouncing at a rate that I'm like, that's like. You're kind of shaking the baby, and it was like hopping up and down, but really fast. Like the tempo was brutal, and the kid's head's shaking around all crazy, and he's just doing it for like 10 minutes. It was just like really annoying people.
Settle down.
And at the end of the thing, they got out right away and stopped at like you know that little round spot before the. The ramp starts, the connector to the plane, and they're chatting and talking and trying. We need to get this settled. It's like people can't get off the plane. I was like, holy! I wanted to say, like, listen, man, wake up, man. Look around you. Just give yourself an ounce of self awareness and realize that everybody's trying to live here. not just you guys. It's not a reality show.
We were talking about it was almost, this yesterday, it was like Carol and I, awareness and how important it is and how many people don't seem to have it.
Yeah. Well, it's like it seemed to me that they were living their lives as if they're like on one of those Kardashian shows where there's just cameras following you around.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where it's everything is about them and there's so much preparation to go, you know, even to go out and get lunch that it's like drama. Everything's dramatic. And then the talking shit about everyone else's life, all that stuff. You know, like the conversation, if it's not making fun of how someone else is, then it's not worth having. Or like how bad things are, or problems without solutions, that kind of yaps and talking, like talking about how bad something is. Like it's just, that's just a cancerous way.
Well, especially because, not to suggest the wealthy don't have problems, everyone does, and it's all relative, but yeah. What is there to really complain about on the flight back from Turks and Caicos? Like, yeah. That's a trip a lot of people would love to take once in a lifetime.
Yeah, I think it's just that thing where sometimes wealthy people are just obnoxious assholes that's how they get ahead, is just by stepping on people.
Yeah.
And that's who those people were. They were just like used to getting everything that they want, and the people around them give them everything because they're probably working for them or whatever else. And it's just this, it's like everybody's Sidney Crosby at 15, you know, a superstar your whole life. And that's the mentality, you know. Not that Sidney Crosby is the complete opposite as a person, but if your eyes on you like that from a young age, or maybe their parents were loaded, so they just grew up thinking that's a stat, that means they can do whatever they want and say whatever they want, and there's never consequences for anything.
So did you go to like Needs or Max Milk to get a water? Like, do you know how much stuff is there?
No, I went to the grocery store. Yeah. Like
how much is a box of Fruit Loops there?
Like, we didn't buy cereal, but like cucumbers are like, I think $6 or something like that. Oh. $7. I bought like a pack of turkey for sandwiches was like $12. You know, just like a way higher, probably double what you would pay. But some stuff is dirt cheap, like alcohol, like local alcohol is really cheap.
Really?
But like I saw like it was like $56 for a bottle of vodka, as opposed to 30 or whatever in the LCBO.
What is local liquor like?
Well, rum? There's like local beers. There's local beers and local rum and stuff like that. That's probably cheaper if you buy it, know where to buy it. But and I also think there might be a difference for being local as opposed to a tourist for price, because obviously everything's so expensive, and people that live there and work there aren't making nearly as much. So there must be obviously an opportunity for people to buy reasonably priced stuff, because you know everything is just marked up like crazy.
What is life like there for people that are from there? Would you say, like, the houses kind of nice? Well,
I don't know where they're, you know, I didn't like I said, I was just mostly boats and shoreline and a couple different little resorts and restaurants. So I didn't tour much. Again, it was only 5 days, right? And there was stuff going on. So, but I think if you have a good service job, you can do all right. Probably do pretty well, I guess, in comparison, because of the cost of stuff down there if you're local. There's only one golf course. I played golf one day. There's only one course on the whole island.
So how was it?
Good. It was fun. It was nice. It's a nice space. Like, everything is nice there, man. It's just super quiet. It makes sense that... and I think there's only, like, population-wise, it's like one city that, like, Provinciales or whatever that we flew into, it was like 1,500 people. And then Grace Bay, it was like 3,500 people. Like, not a lot of people on that space. If you think about the wealth that's on that island, you know what I mean? That's it. Like, that's your 1% bangers right there.
Like, that's, Corey Hart lives in Bahamas, right? And does Johnny from the Hip have a place down there? A lot of Canadians go there too, right?
Yeah, there's a different, there's different areas where people just like to get away. And, you know, like I said, like, you get down there, I think, and you stay for a certain amount of the year. You just, I think you have to give up like half of your money to do that, but like you don't have to pay tax anymore.
Whoa.
Right? Yeah. So if you have something that's a good income, then if you're like from the future on, then it's worth it to do it because you're just like cruising out as if you're living in Ireland or something where there's like 2%. There's no tax compared to 2% for Ireland. I don't know if it's the same anymore, but I was always like, wow, Ireland. So you too, those guys are paying 2% tax.
That is tapping out. You know what? I'm good. I'm going to just give you half my money and then go sit around down there.
Right? It's so tapping out. But if you're still tapping your cards and the deposits are still tapping, you're free to rock it. Like, just keep cruising straight up.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, I don't know. As a kid, the way I grew up, it seems pretty greasy that if you have all the money, you can just kind of keep it all.
Yes.
You know, as opposed to the concept of how infrastructure is built and, you know, the highways and hospitals and all that stuff. I mean, it was the corporations of the last 50 years that were paying tax that did a lot of that stuff, not just the government money. And now that those companies and corporations aren't paying that tax anymore, it makes sense that it's getting more difficult and the middle class is kind of getting smaller and smaller. And it's just going up to the higher percentage wages.
Well, not unlike when people become celebrities, that's when they start getting things for free.
Yeah,
as opposed to when they couldn't pay their rent, they couldn't catch a break. Speaking of break.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take a break.
Happy Halloween.
Big milestone in the house this week, bud.
Yeah?
Very big milestone. Suge had her first junior high dance.
Wow.
I know.
That's a big deal, eh?
I know. It was hard on the old man. But she was just...
No, it was not.
Well...
Was it?
No.
Just the passage of time happening quickly, that was the biggest thing,
yeah.
Shock.
Yeah. But also,
you're not like, worried about the boys that want to dance. Like, that's not concerning you.
Well, she was all pure excitement whatever. Until Carol was like, "What are you going to say if a guy asks you to dance?" So it started a few days before the dance at school. Who's going with who? Is someone going to ask me to the dance? Do we go together to the dance, like that kind of thing?
I think, and you know what, the same thing, like, because Annalise is having a dance coming up, but you know what's going to happen, they all just dance together. The girls dance with the girls and the guys dance with the guys or whatever. It's not like it's not going to be like the dramatic movie version where like the kids are just staring at each other trying to pick somebody, right?
Well, it was kind
of they just party on.
It was kind of sweet though, the idea that kids were like, what if I don't get asked to the dance? Who's going to ask me to the dance? I wonder if I should ask that person to the dance. It seems so Back to the Future flashback to the 50s when his mom was a teenager. Like, ask someone to go to the dance seems so chaste and innocent.
I think
innocent.
It's kind of innocent, and it might be slightly inappropriate to ask a kid to like have to pick another kid. Like, that's not necessary at all. Like, you shouldn't have to be thinking about that, you know?
So
that's kind of probably why dances in the older days, like, I remember they were more prominent than they were
like that era
at our other school, at Lake Wilcox school, there was no dances ever.
Lake Will what?
our old neighborhood school, Lake Wilcox. Like David.
I know that some of the best school dances I ever went to were in junior high, because it was before the I'm too cool for school kicked in. You were pumped to be there and not self-conscious enough to kind of be bashful. So I just went for it. And so Carol kind of mentioned to Shug, like, what's your plan if it just happens to happen that there a slow song comes on and a dude asks you to dance? And Shug was like, oh, I hadn't considered that that might happen. So Carol's dad's theory, he told his daughters growing up, if someone works up the courage to ask you to dance, doesn't mean you're getting married to them. You say yes, because it's cruel not to. It's 3 minutes.
It's so silly to connect this emotional relationship with just dancing with somebody. Like, that's the stupidest part. Like, you shouldn't have to, it doesn't have to be at that age to be asking, you know, a boy or a girl has to ask, you know, it's just ask your friend and you go, like, when you go to a club, what do you see? You don't see couples. You just see masses of people all just together. So that's what dancing is now. And it's just, that's just the old stuff that's still kind of lingering. It's really, like I said, it's pointless because they're 10, 11 years old. Like, you're just trying to figure out what the hell's going on in the world. You don't need to all of a sudden start thinking about relationships. Like, forget that, man. Just have a good time. And that's what they will do. And that's what it'll be for sure.
And that's what it was. It was Thursday night. And I think she was really, really excited to go. She went in costume. Not everyone did. And we both said, Carol and I, like, dance your head off, have a blast with your friends. And she did. And
awesome.
I think part of us, like, in at least in part from our own experiences in junior high, like, the difference between grade 7 and grade 9 is significant,
big time.
Like, there might have been some masks driving themselves who were in grade 9, right? There might have been some people banged up.
For sure. High school, that's when you start thinking about what the hell's going on. And then you start, wouldn't mind saying hello and going out for a movie or something.
Yeah. But it's fun to remember back to when embarrassment kind of kicked in as far as that goes. I was reminded, I don't think I've ever told you this story. I had, back in my kind of late teens, I had what's called pilonidal sinuses. And they're like cysts. They're like sebum-filled cysts that you tend to get in places where moisture gathers. So one of them is your armpits, for example. Another one might be at the top of your posterior where it meets your back. In rare cases, you might get one in your kazif, sort of in your undercarriage, kind of between things down there.
Because if
it wasn't there, your bird would sink into your bottom. So when I was in my late teens, I had a pilonidal sinus at the top of my bottom and had to have it seen to, because it can actually become kind of painful and they are actually able to remove it. So after it being inconvenient for a bit, I made arrangements to have it removed. Remember, I was on Street Sense at the time. So I'm face down on the gurney about to have this procedure done. They used surgical tape to tape each of my cheeks to the side of the gurney so the area was more accessible. So my cheeks are taped open. And they brought in some residents to watch the procedure.
What?
How vulnerable is that?
That is... Hey, there's Buddy from Street Sense.
Well, I know. So I tried to make it light and float some jokes around and no one laughed.
Hey, there's Buddy from Street Sense, barking spider.
Yeah, chocolate spider, like, exposed, like, cheeks taped apart. So that was one. And then, believe it or not, there's a worse one when I was in my 20s. I was in Toronto. It was during JohnnoVision. I got one in my, and I'm really sharing now, in my
like, that's honestly the most, like, that. That's the most, like, it's such a, it's like the underneath, like, it's the underside, it's like middle, the middle earth is what that is.
I know. And
no one, like, we don't know what it looks like.
I know.
You know what I mean?
So here's an even worse one. I got, so I would get them in my armpit from time to time. And I, by the way, I don't anymore. I haven't in 20 years. It's fine. It's not an ongoing thing. But for a while, it was really kind of a pain. And it would get so big, for example, in my armpit, that the skin is so stretched, it really hurt.
Oh, yeah. And that's a very sensitive area of skin there.
Exactly. So I got okay at kind of relieving, lancing them. This is so gross, but instant relief once you would kind of drain it, for lack of a better word. So
holy boats.
So one time I got one.
Oh, man. Can't, one time, I get it for sure.
This is the worst one.
Let's move on.
I got one. Yeah, it's even worse. I got one in my undercarriage and went to a walk-in clinic, and the nurse said, the doctor will come in to take care of it. And it was a young woman, probably my age, who was a resident. And I had to lie on my back on a gurney and hold my legs open behind the knees.
Oh, come on.
She's
like talking to you about the Degrassi episode.
Which is kind of a weird thing, like when you have sort of a public job, because not
so
only...
So how come Wheels wasn't there while she's like popping the
things? So the worst thing is, like, not only does she now have that story of, oh, I'll tell you something unfun when I was in thing, but the punchline is, oh, by the way, guess who it was? Buddy from JohnnoVision.
Oh, my God.
What a terrible story.
Let's roll back the tape. Look, we got it on video.
Look who it is. It was JohnnoVision. That's the worst part. And I wonder if this person has seen me on the television over the years, if instantly they're like, ugh. Like, they associate me with that, or think that they have reduced me to that in their mind. Anyway, there you go. Cheers.
Wow. They're out there.
Jeremy, what's the most invasive medical procedure you've ever had done? Or most vulnerable situation you've found yourself in?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I mean,
nothing like that?
It's tough to top, man. I think... when I got kicked in the sack as a kid by another punk ass at school... And my balls swelled up to the size of oranges. Remember that one? Yeah.
No,
I
don't.
And I spent three nights in hospital because my balls were swelled up.
First of all, ouch.
Yeah.
Was that the intended target of the kick?
Yeah. It was like an asshole move.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like friend of yours or you were fighting?
No, just some dick. That, like, another kid that I'd probably been chirping, and he kicked me in the sack. Dirty move.
How old were you?
This is like grade 4, so like 9.
Oh.
Yeah. Like I'm not, it was like he was kind of a bully for sure. And I was new at the school, so it was like probably a few weeks into the new school year at a new place. So I was just trying to find my way. And I, even back then, I would probably when I'm in the corner, like, well, all I have was my words and my so I was probably said something to him that just really fired him up, like, got him pissed off. You know what I mean? Like, really pushed his buttons to where he just kind of went saw white, and I was like, well, maybe not the best idea to make a bully see that, like, rage. So anyway, I went to the hospital, but, like, you know, I'd wake up in the middle of the night with, like, the nurse, like, fondling just to make sure everything's okay.
What?
The nuts. Well, because they were so swelled up, they had to check the swelling to make sure it was all right, because it was fucking crazy, man. It was such a weird thing to happen. But, yeah.
What happens medically that it swells like that?
Well, it must have been bad if they were like monitoring me and keeping me in the hospital for 2 days as opposed to just sending me home, you know?
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't go back to normal right away.
So what, yeah. Like the ability for blood to get to them was impeded somehow? Why?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Crazy.
I don't know. You see those videos of guys getting kicked in the balls over and over? Like, I don't know how they can do that. Like, after, what, are they kick so many times, they swell up and then turn into raisins and don't work anymore?
I don't know why you would do that.
Yeah, but, you know, you've seen those crazy, like, karate guys kicking each other in the nuts super hard.
I can't watch that stuff.
No. Yeah. But I'm sure, like, you know, do that a couple times and you're not having kids, that's for sure.
So what happened to the dude? Did he get in trouble or you didn't want to bring it up?
Yeah, I'm sure he got in trouble. He probably got suspended or something. I'm not naming his name. I know his name, but I won't say it because he probably looks back on it as like, oh, man, that was a terrible thing.
I'm sure.
So I'm sure he knows he was in the wrong. So whatever. But fuck him for doing that back then.
Yeah, super not cool.
Yeah.
Did you ever hurt anyone in a fight?
I never got in too many fights. Like. But it was always the new kid in school or in the town, which what led to fights. It was never anybody I knew after a while. And, I did all right in them as enough. So I think with, the baseball and a lot of practicing, I was pretty physically strong. So I could punch pretty good. So I gave a couple licks in there to realize that this isn't probably a good idea. Either way, if you're getting into a fight, you're probably both going to get hurt. But if you start early and it's like it you can sense some violence then and anger too, or just like, you know, sometimes you just have to give somebody a good squeeze, like, not, you know, even on the shoulder or something beforehand, to realize like this is not going to be a great thing for either of us. So let's just stop. So usually that's what would happen.
I like that idea, the slow squeeze.
Yeah, the squeeze on the arm is a good one. Like,
we doing this,
really want to
really
try
wanna
something.
You really want to do this?
Or, you know what, like, I noticed, like, I know I have some really good friends that are, that have helped me with understanding that. Like, if you're in a situation like that and you all of a sudden stop speaking loudly and get even quiet to the point where, like, it's hard for them to hear, that settles people down, like, in a sense.
Yeah, big time.
If you just really, like, no loud speaking, quiet, and continue the conversation at that level, you know?
I remember when Shug was born, a friend of Carol's saying that, like, don't yell at your kid, bring it right down, because that's terrifying. If you ever want to get to Sobeys again, here's what's going to happen right now. That's really scary stuff.
Oh, yeah, right? For sure. Like, I knew when my dad, when stuff was really going to be bad, he would get quiet, and then he would yell.
Quiet's terrifying. Noise, you can just tune out.
Yeah, for sure.
So are your people trick-or-treating?
Yeah, like, for example, Annalise had a school walk, spooky walk-a-thon thing throughout, and they had a bunch of activities, and she got up. I'm sorry we missed it, because we flew in and got in around 6, so we didn't get to see her with all the kids at school dressed up in Halloween stuff, which is pretty fun to watch, right? But she got up at 6 o'clock and put in her little vampire teeth. She was what she says, I'm a sad vampire. And it was like, what do you mean? Well, she had like a backstory where there was humor involved. So it's just like, she's not sad because she's depressed. She's sad because she's kind of works at a boring place, and it's like nothing really fun happens, and it's just kind of like doldrums style. So that's why she's sad.
Aww.
Pretty funny. But it she does it in the, it's like with there's humor in it, which is I think is awesome.
Yeah.
But John and Jack are a little more getting, you know, John is going to be 16 in March, so he's kind of like, you know, weighing in whether I think if he comes out trick-or-treating, he's just going to walk with us as opposed to dress up, because he doesn't care about getting a bag of candy. But, and Jack's into the age where he wants to be with his friends and they want to trick-or-treat together. So, obviously it's Jack's birthday on Halloween, and he's going to have his buddies with him and he'll go out, but this is, everyone's going to come here and we're going to go around this place in this neighborhood. And Jack's staying over at his friend's tonight. So it's kind of like a little bit of everything. But Jack just wants to grab a mask at, you know, the Spirit of Halloween places that just show up randomly. Today, here in Newmarket, it's at where Chuck E. Cheese used to be, became a Spirit of Halloween. Chuck E. Cheese closed up, so then the Spirit of Halloween showed up for Halloween.
Oh, like one of those randomly 1 month stores?
Yeah.
I love it.
That's, yeah, they always just show up where something went down.
I have so many questions, why you see though.
What?
I didn't know there was Chuck E. Cheese.
He just
in
wants
Canada
to grab a mask. Oh yeah, for sure.
Why did it close down? Because of the COVID?
I just think people were like, what, have salad? Like, why am I spending $12 for a pizza that tastes like plastic and these video games are what, have salad? And half of them are broken.
Wait, was that the hook of Chuck E. Cheese? They have video games?
Well, that's all it kind of is. They have the animatronics and video games, basically. I didn't know that. That's kind of that's the pull. They got like the Chuck E. Cheese thing on the stage. It's like crackling and popping and singing some song from 1987, and then you go around and it's just like video games, or you go to Cineplex, they have that big escape and it's like all these crazy, you know, newer video games. I'm sure that's what happened to Chuck E. Cheese. They lost out to Cineplex. But they're still around. I think there's some in the city, but I wouldn't go there.
There's like a store at the mall called Cozy, and there's a store on kind of the main thoroughfare in town, a Christmas decoration store, and I don't know how they survive. Like, I don't know why Christmas decorations is empty every year at Christmas, because it's a big store.
Yeah. So what, there's no one ever in there?
It's bumping.
It's banging. Yeah,
it's banging, but it's only banging like middle of October till January 1st.
Well, why would it even be open in the like spring and summer? What's the point?
It wouldn't be.
Just for like parties?
Well, no, but I guess they just leave it closed, but like they even put up the Christmas decorations or Christmas land or whatever it's called sign only now. So I just don't understand why it's empty all year except for these 2 months.
Well, I guess the way it works with work. Yeah, exactly. They got the lease banging, right? That's a yearly lease that they just hang on.
A lease banger.
And they make money in that last quarter of the year.
I believe it's known as a lease Navidad in retail
stores. Oh, that's it. Yeah.
When you open a store for 2 months.
A lease Navidad.
Indy's going as a chocolate chip cookie with a graduation cap and glasses on. A smart cookie.
That's a good one.
And Suge is going as a candy queen, using the same costume that she wore to the junior high dance the other night.
Yeah.
There you
candy
go.
Queen.
But this is kind of the first year where they can sort of party on their own.
And if you're a candy queen, you might get extra candy, so that's a good angle too.
Oh, exactly. Or you could eat the things.
Come to the door.
Glue gun to your skirt.
Is it, so where are you going to go? Are you going to rip into town?
We were having this conversation, because there's the neighborhoods that, you know, people drop their kids off in, because there's either high density of houses or specific places that have candy apples, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But historically what we've done is kind of laser pinpoint 5 or 6 places we want to stop into that are friends or aunts or whatever. So I don't know. Might just drop them at a neighborhood this year.
Yeah, that's good. Do that. So I want to circle back and tell you, all in, $1,000 in COVID tests.
What do you mean?
What? That's how much it costs.
Going and coming?
Going in, it was $200. 200 plus, like 240.
Where for both of us. Where did
you do them? We had to do them prior. So you had to show up at the airport with a negative test. So we did it at Shoppers. And they're like, yeah, over $200 each. But down there, it was $500.
And so, same thing, you do it at the airport on the way back? Or where do you do it on the way back?
No, you have to do it prior. So you have to do, because it takes at least 24 hours for the test results to come back. So they came to the house and gave us tests on Wednesday, knowing that we could get it, the results for Friday.
That's such a sneaky money grab, isn't it?
$1,000, man.
They're going to play on people's anxiousness to travel again and just grab that dough.
Well, and you can't get on the island without being double vaxxed.
Right.
So, like, it's just one of those things. So, whatever. It is what it is all I got to say.
$1,000. Yeah.
$1,000.
What were the flights like?
The prices or the flights themselves?
Yeah, like, price-wise. Were they bananas?
It's not bad, no. I think it's like, you can get down there for $1,000.
Right.
Ticket. Yeah, it's not too bad.
That's not nothing. So you're into it for three.
Yeah.
Was it like a Who Wants to Go Jet Skiing kind of deal? Or you guys take the Jeep and go rip around?
No, it was just everybody's friends. And there's just so many great people. I met people that I'll probably be lifelong friends. Like, just because these are all the closest people with Warren and Robin, right? So they're all really cool folks. So I met some buds from Boston and you know, other members of their family that I hadn't got to know as much as the trip, and just other people, you know, like friends that Robin had that I've met before but got to hang out with for a couple days, and just like, man, we got to hang out more, you know, that kind of stuff. So
is Warren the now husband, or Warren is the brother of the bride?
Warren is the husband now.
Oh, he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you didn't stay at a hotel. You stayed at a house.
Yes.
So can you just go to the fridge and grab an apple?
Yeah, but I mean, we like I said, we were ripping around and we're out. As soon as you get up, you go do stuff. So yeah, you just grab food where you are. But we also bought groceries. So we had food in our room. There was a fridge, so we had stuff for sandwiches and the coffee, and great coffee. Like, it was just kind of more because you're out eating together generally. Even a bud of Warren's from Boston fired up some Bubba burgers. Have you heard of those?
No.
Dynamite. Maybe the best frozen burgers I've ever had. Bubba burgers.
What is that? The brand name?
Yeah, you can't get them in Canada, but they're in the States. But if you get your chance, if you're doing the sneak, what is it? The sneak that you do? The banger?
Yeah, the banger.
If you go
sneak
down, rip down, get some Bubba burgers and just fire them on the grill, and you're like, "Wow, for a frozen burger, that's pretty solid." I was surprised.
I'm going to look them up.
Bubba's.
Bubba Burgers. Never
Jeff
heard of them in my
fired
life.
Fired up the Bubba's.
You'll never find a burger better than a Bubba.
No.
That's what it says.
But it was just a lot of really great people, and it was just totally chill. Like, when you get up and you're looking out that water, and the water, the ocean is like bath water. It's like hot. It was cool. Like, if you go out and you just kind of lie down in it, it was just the perfect thing because of this. The heat of the sun is just insane. It's really cooking down there.
How hot was it?
It was like 30 degrees almost. Whoa. Like 30 degrees in the sun for sure. And then like 28 if you're not in the sun, right? But hot. And when you're out in the sun, it's like you roast fast. So you got to fire up the 50. And get it on you.
Did you swim at night?
No, but I did some walking on the beach at night.
Did you step on any conchs?
You know what, blue? No, but what blue? That the other thing is the sand on the beaches. It's like it's so soft and deep. It's like hourglass sand and really thin, fine. So it's really tough to walk in the dry sand because your foot goes down like 3 inches every step. But if you go right by the water's edge, it's a little more firm.
Oh, yeah, where it's darker and wetter. You get a good rip
that way. Yeah, but man, like if that's your issues for the day is firing around in the sand.
No kidding. Does the homeowner live there or it's a seasonal property for them?
Yeah, they're just back and forth because they have places elsewhere. They live in Toronto, so yeah. Yeah, man, it was a great week.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, bud.
I recommend it.
I'm glad you're home safely. And was it? Did you feel at all anxious or weird traveling, or it was fine? Felt kind of normal.
Yeah. Well, no, it was weird because like. Everything is, well, we don't have that because of COVID, you know, like you can't book a flight at the airport like you used to because the agents that would just book flights aren't there because of COVID.
Oh,
like
wow.
That styles. Yeah. So you have to call Aeroplan, whatever to do it that way. So that's the only difference. But I mean, there was the line to check your bags was like an hour and a half.
Whoa.
Like you check in and then you just go in. And so we got lucky and kind of siphoned off and found another line that got us there quicker. But you have to kind of either get there 4 hours early or just like deal with the madness or try and sneak your way through it. Maybe do the Ronnie thing where you're walking backwards to the exit.
Yeah, exactly. If you can't hear Bud, my girls just walked in the door, which kind of times out really well.
Perfect. Yeah, and I'm going to take Jack to get a mask at Spirit of Halloween and fire him over to his friends.
We should open masks next year. The most confusing name for a business ever.
Absolutely. Well, have a good Halloween and enjoy the week. Talk to you next week. Bye.